0500 909 693. We've got another 25 minutes or so of this gadget phone in to go. Febs is here taking your questions on any issues regarding your gadgets at home. A couple of people offering some suggestions here for queries from our previous callers, Febsy. One listener says, your caller with BT Infinity issues, that was Linda, wasn't it, earlier on, may need a CAT6 or a CAT6 network cable for improved speed. Yeah, makes sense.
Yes, I mean, so these are the Ethernet cables, so most people would have Cat5 or Cat5e, as Cat6 will be faster, but again, my suspicion, there's certainly not an unhelpful suggestion, I think there may be some merit in it, but my guess is that the limiting factor may well be that particular laptop.
Yeah, it doesn't solve the problem, does it? It just makes it, you know.
No, but I mean, certainly if you were going to be cabling up your house, you know, you would cable it with Cat6, not Cat5, because it has more room for growth, so as internet speeds get faster and faster, you know, you'll be able to have a fast enough data pipe all around your house, as it were.
But it's all about wireless, isn't it, though?
I'm a bit old school when it comes to that. I still think wires are still better and healthier.
Yeah, so I should call you Fevzy Taurus as well. Okay, Alan in Oxford says, I recommend any video converter. Converts just about anything to anything, video and audio. Free version has all the basic features. Extremely easy to use. Great quality. Used it for years. No spyware, no adverts. And that, I think, is from a previous caller as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, yes, exactly. So that was about, I think the question was about audio conversion, but I'm guessing that this will do audio as well as video conversion.
Exactly.
I mean, it's two things to say, particularly with free software. It's not just the software, whether the manufacturer of it puts you know, adware in there or anything, you know, a little bit suspect, but it's also to do with the you know, the site that you download it from and whether that's reputable, and making sure that they haven't somehow got hold of a version that's been corrupted after it's been packaged up by the software writers.
Got to be careful of everything online. Gordon in Adelaide says, I just heard a caller with an issue regarding a phone and tablet not letting emails be sent. I had this issue, and there's a solution which you can Google. The password needs to be updated in a couple of places in settings. I found the instructions, and it worked for me anyway.
Yeah, so that comes back, and that's good advice, but it comes back to the fact that you have to make sure that all the information you enter is correct, and it can vary a bit with mobile devices, because whereas you might use mail servers that are specific to your internet service provider at home, you need ones that are going to work in different locations, because you're now setting the email on a portable device. So that's why I said, you know, the best thing to do in that regard, if you can't get it to work with the settings that you know, is to either speak to your provider, be it your internet service provider or whoever, or go onto their website, because they will provide you with, and the important things in that regard are things like incoming and outgoing mail server, so that they will give you servers that you can use for your incoming and outgoing mail that will work from whichever location you're in the UK.
And just back to Jake in Dundalk, who's up all night working on various writing projects. He says, I do it all in Google Chrome, which is great, as all is instantly saved and secure. But in the last few days, each tab keeps refreshing itself every time I click to go back onto it. As I work on several at the same time, this is a real nuisance, and it keeps sending me back to the top of the page, and I have to scroll down to resume where I was working in each tab. Any ideas of what's gone wrong and how I might solve it?
I mean, with the Google apps, they have the benefit of being able to synchronize automatically across different devices, and it sounds like that's something that's important to Jake, but that is the thing that most commonly goes wrong, and sometimes it's unfortunate, it's just slightly buggy software or slightly suspect servers. So I mean, you can always try using a different piece of software, or you go back to Google and you flag it as an error. There are other apps that will do that. I mean, if you're using does Jake say what machine he's using, what type of machine?
No, he doesn't. Just says Google Chrome.
Okay. I mean, You can use Google Docs for that purpose. I mean, I assume when you say Google Chrome, you're talking about Google Docs. If not, use Google Docs, because that's very good. Or you can use a sort of a third-party app, something like Scrivener, which is particularly good. I'm not sure what Jake means by writing projects. Do you know if he means books and longer pieces of text?
I could guess, but I'd probably get it wrong.
So, for example, an app like Scrivener, which exists on, you know, portable devices, iOS, you know, Apple devices, but also others, those are particularly designed not only to synchronize across more than one device, but designed for writers of books and screenplays and so forth. And they have, for example, the ability to move around chapters. They have the ability to save any research you're doing for your book in with the documents. And they just have all the features that you know, professional or budding writers would want. So not for people who are just knocking out the odd business letter or email or whatever, but if you're actually trying to do something a bit more ambitious, then you can look at things like Scrivener or Ulysses is a good application as well to look at.
This, of course, is a question that every house husband has been asking for a couple of years at least. But this is from Emma in Weybridge. Are robots available that can do the housework, and if so, what price?
There was one at the Consumer Electronics Show, the CES show in Las Vegas about a week ago, called the Laundroid. Mm. And the Laundroid folds the laundry.
I saw that. It's kind of smart.
It's slow. Yeah, yeah. I think the problem with all these robots at the moment, Dotton, is that they tend to be single-use robots. They'll do one thing. Whereas what you really want is a sort of housekeeper type robot that will do a variety of tasks.
Follow my stepson about and clean up after him. Yeah,
possibly so. Yeah, I mean, but that's I think that's the future. You know, the ones that will look after us when we're feeling a bit poorly will make the breakfast and fold the laundry. They exist, and they're increasingly internet connected devices that will communicate not only with you but with each other as well.
Yeah, talking of robots. So we've got one here from someone who listened to you when you were talking about Alexa. Oh, sorry, Alexa. I'll come on to that in a moment.
She is here with me, I do warn you. I've got the speaker switched off.
The last time I mentioned her name, I got several complaints, I could tell you that. Anne in Jersey is with us, though. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you?
I'm very well. Happy New Year and all that, yeah.
And to you. I wonder if your expert could help me. I have been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and it's in the early stages, but when I get these shaking bouts, I cannot control my fingers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm either texting or whatever, with the shaking being so bad, sometimes I hit the key more than once. And when I've done it on my mobile, I've sent my mobile into orbit, I think, and I have a friend who's very, very good, and he's come down and he's put my mobile right. But it's just, is there a device where it can second thought? Do you know what I mean?
Is there a device that can do what?
Is there a device that I can either attach where when I'm trying to type out or anything, when one of these bouts are on, that won't send the machine.
I understand.
When I went into the bank, I had the same problem with the bank, and I nearly lost my card.
Yes.
And they said, come to us. I says, is there nothing that you can help me, advise me? No, she says, just come to us and we'll do it for you. I says, but the whole idea of cards is that nobody knows your numbers or anything. She says, yes, but you're different, aren't you? And I felt rather uncomfortable.
Read your fraud guarantee.
I mean,
it's nice of them to be helpful, but you're quite right, because the fraud guarantee won't make exceptions if you share your details, even under those circumstances. I'm not saying that bank staff would be careless with your details, but still. So this is a good question. In terms of a smartphone, the way to go might be, instead of trying to interact solely with the touch screen, it might be to use the voice input capability that smartphones increasingly have and have to an extent which is increasingly useful. So, Apple and Android devices have voice input where you can dictate texts and emails directly into it by voice, and where you can actually control the device completely with your voice. So that might be a way to go. The settings to allow you to get this going are generically known as accessibility settings, and not all of them will be relevant to you, because some of them are for people, for example, who are partially sighted, so the smartphone can read out everything that's on the screen, for example, if a person can't see well. But the voice inputs and the voice control, these are technologies that are coming on leaps and bounds. In terms of your using cards and so forth. Again, smartphones have got things like, if you've got an Apple phone, they've got something called Apple Pay. If you've got an Android phone, you can use Android Pay, where you upload your card digitally into your smartphone, and then it will use a fingerprint reader to allow you. So you don't have to enter a PIN number. You can use the fingerprint reader on a smart device to do it. So those sorts of technologies, although they don't apply, in every setting, are certainly the way things are going, and things that you could investigate as well. I suggest also that if there is a national body that helps people that have the same diagnosis as you, that some of these problems will have been already solved by others, and that information will be on their website, or they'll have an advice line that can help you specifically. But I would look at voice input, and I'd look at things like biometrics, things like fingerprint readers and so forth, so that you don't have to punch codes and that you don't have to tap on keyboards.
It's good advice, and thank you, and good luck with all of that. Obviously, for us who work late nights, there is nothing more pleasurable than passing by an all-night bakery where they're going to let you buy some of their pastries straight out of the oven, warm, cheaper than you would buy them from the store.
Oh, come on, you're making me hungry
more
now.
Delicious. When I discovered such a bakery when I lived in Stockholm, I'd say all the young kids, we're always up all night for all sorts of various reasons. Let's leave it at that. Usually bunking over to the open-air Lido that was there, and getting chased out by the guards and all this. Anyway, we'd all sort of head towards my little gaff in the middle of the night. We passed the late-night bakery. Everyone's like, wow, late-night bakery. And, the smells were saying, you go and buy this food and you buy loads and loads of it. Oh, it's fabulous. That is all by way of saying that they've closed down the all-night bakery at Ridley Road Market. In fact, the whole market's coming down in the east end of London. The whole market's coming down after hundreds of years or however many years, and it's going to be turned into very expensive apartments, no doubt. And that's by way of saying that this text has come from Fraz, who is baking all night at a bakery in Hocknall. Feel for us, Francis. Oh, Francis Bakery is what it's called. Fraz, anyway, that's your bakery, I assume. This is your question. Does that all make sense to you?
Perfect sense, but yeah, I stopped listening when I became hungry, I have to tell you.
That's very kind of you. Now, this is what Fraz says, who's baking all night. He says, I bought an Echo over Christmas after hearing you rave about it. Mm. I think it's a great piece of kit. However, I don't feel like I'm getting the most from it. All I see on the internet is people talking about it and how great it is, but I'm not sure of what it is or how to use it to get more from my Echo. Also, Alexa sometimes struggles to understand me. I went to do the voice training on the Alexa app, but it's not in the settings page like the guide says. So what?
Yeah, okay. So I've never bothered doing voice training with it because I found it understands me perfectly well, even though sometimes it pretends not to. I know it does. In terms of getting the best out of it, normally when you register, when you get an Echo or an Echo Dot device, which is, for those that don't know, is an artificial intelligent speaker system where you speak to it and it will provide you with information, a wide variety of information. It will play music, it will read talking books, it will give you weather or traffic report. It will. By the way, I noticed they removed the Donald Trump jokes off it. Which is quite interesting, because I used to be able to ask it to tell you a Donald Trump joke, and now claims not to know any Donald Trump jokes, but it can tell you a political joke.
Well, I wouldn't know, because I stopped listening from the last time you...
Yeah, but it's your fault. I had to turn the mic down as well to stop my stomach rumbles being heard. Listen, I was absorbing what you were saying. No, I just wasn't consciously listening.
I like the absorption part of it. Put some weight.
Yeah. What can one do? So in terms of getting the best out of it, when you register, you should get a weekly email from Amazon saying what new tricks it's learnt. But in addition to all the sort of baked in, if you'll pardon the pun, functionality, there are hundreds, if not more than 1,000, in quotes, skills that can be associated with it. So, you know, particular third parties have made their technology compatible. So you know, a particular pizza company may allow you to order pizzas through it, or a flower company, or what have you, or Uber cabs and so forth. And some of those things just need to be switched on. And you do that through the app that you've referred to. In that app, if you look in the menu, you can find a list of all the skills and some of the new skills as well that you can associate with your Alexa device. One of the things that people do with it is to control their various Internet of Things household devices. So for example, if you've got a Hive internet connected thermostat, then you can control the heating by voice, not just by your smartphone. Equally, if you've got Philips Hue lighting, that's Hue lighting, you can control the lighting in your home by voice, and that seems to work really well. You know, it's quite reliable. If the device is not always hearing you, it may be one of the problems I found with it, and particularly with the bigger Echo device, which has got the bigger speaker, is that if you're playing music, for example, and the volume goes much above, say, 7 out of 10, you sometimes have to shout over the music for the microphones to hear you. There's two potential solutions to that. One is to get the Echo Dot device, which is a smaller £50 box with the very basic speaker in it, but with audio output capabilities, and then have the speaker, the connected speaker, on in a slightly different location in the room, so the microphones are not being drowned out by the speakers. Or you can buy for £20, you can buy a little handset which has useful buttons on it, because things like skipping music by voice is not always the best way to do it. Sometimes buttons are better. You can do that, and it's got a little built-in microphone. And I did hear about someone who wanted to whisper to Alexa when his wife was asleep in bed and not wake her. I don't know what he wanted to say to her, but he obviously didn't want his wife to hear. And he was doing that using a handheld add-on. It doesn't come as standard, but it sells for £20. Sometimes it's reduced. I think they've reduced it to about 15 at the moment. I'll share with you one last rumor. There is a rumor that the app may be, and it's not definite, but the app may be upgraded to allow voice input via your smartphone, so that you then don't have to spend the money on the extra remote. So watch that space.
Yeah. And this is an email. I Skype every Sunday with my children, one of whom is in Suffolk and the other in Pennsylvania, but have problems with the audio and video for the one but not the other. On the call to Suffolk at 2 o'clock, the picture and sound on my iMac are nearly always dreadful. There's no other word for them. It makes little difference when my daughter takes her laptop in her house. However, the sound and vision on her laptop are pretty well perfect, she tells me. Her ISP, by the way, is BT. With my son in Pennsylvania, which is 9 o'clock in the evening, there's seldom a problem. Usually I can see and hear him without difficulty, say at about 90% perfection, and he has about the same level of reception on his laptop. His ISP is Verizon. What's going on? It's easier to contact somebody overseas and get a clearer picture than over here.
Yeah, so the picture that you see it's all dependent upon a number of factors. It's dependent upon the speed of your internet up and down speeds, the speed of the other party's internet up and down. So, for example, if I'm a video Skyping to you, Dotton, but my internet here might have a slow up speed, then that's going to affect not so much the voice, which is less demanding, but the quality of the picture that I can send to you. And Skype will do its best to adapt to sort of poor quality. So as an internet connection maybe even slows down during a call, it will adapt and it will compress it more and try and send less data to. So what it's trying to do is stop the call falling apart altogether. And it does that by reducing the quality. So sometimes it becomes more blocky, more pixelated. But it does that in an effort to the alternative would be just to drop the call if you insisted on it trying to send the same amount of picture data up the line. Sometimes it's to do with the down speed, but more often the up speed. So my up speed, your down speed can affect how you see images of me over Skype. There can also be issues because internet is not like a point-to-point connection. It's not like a phone call used to be, although phone calls are increasingly not point-to-point either. But it's not just the packets of information aren't flowing from you directly to me. It's a bit like a community services bus that picks you up and then goes all around the houses and picks up all sorts of other people before they deliver you to your destination. It's not a direct A to B. It's an A to B to C to D, etc., before it reaches you. And any of those nodes, although the internet is good at sort of rerouting where there's slowness to avoid that slowness, that can also affect it. So even though you have fast internet and I have fast internet, something in the middle can still cause congestion. Mm. It is worth, by the way, experimenting with other possibilities. So for example, if you're an Apple user, you could experiment with FaceTime. There are other apps that will do it, because some of them are just a bit smarter at compressing the audio and video stream than others, and will work better. So do try things like FaceTime and others as well to see if that will give you an improved
connection. You see, John, who always listens to us from Thailand, has emailed me to say that in terms of upload speeds and everything, internet speeds, that Britain, compared to Thailand, is the developing country.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and it's interesting because in a lot of countries, the mobile data outperforms not only anything that we can get in our country through landlines, your fiber connection, you can get, really quite astounding speeds up and down via a mobile connection. And one of the recent criticisms that was made when they were talking about the rollout of mobile 5G, the even faster data connection, is that, frankly, 4G was botched in this country. We really have slow 4G by global standards. And we have fallen behind. And, when governments say, Britain is open for business, it needs to have not only
Don't get into the politics.
Road infrastructure. Yeah. It needs to have a good data infrastructure.
Next, you're going to tell me that we're going to make Britain great again, yeah?
Britain's already great.
Ah, that's the right answer. Brooksy wants to know Brooksy can play DVDs on a Nintendo. On a Nintendo Wii, very quickly.
I've no idea. I wouldn't have thought so.
Okay. I told Brooksy you would have an idea.
Why would you do that? I don't know. Probably not. You can buy a DVD player for about £15 these days.
Very quickly from Judith in Lincolnshire. Sorry to bother you with this silly question, she says, but it's not a silly question. There are no silly questions, as Fabsy always says. I'm getting some irritating spam on email, Outlook email that is, but get on screen message. I can't block it as not from a proper email address. Is there anything I can do?
If you run a third-party anti-spam tool, that they keep databases of known sources of spam and will filter it out and put it in the spam folder for you. There's two ways you can do it. You can either run the software on your own computer, device, tablet to filter out the spam as it drops into your inbox. The advantage of doing that is that you can go back and look at those spam emails just in case the spam filter made a mistake. The alternative to that is to use the spam filter that your internet service provider or your email provider has. So for example, okay. Google's spam filter for Gmail is excellent. So if you're a Google user, you could trust their spam filter, which will save you a lot of data on mobile devices.
Fabsy Turcotte, as ever, thank you very much.
On digital and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
bbc.co.uk/5live.